This video is brought to you by a product I use weekly, Harry's. Citizens of the Reject Nation, I am here today joined by Koi Jandro, who is streaming in from Las Vegas because he is at CinemaCon at the moment. Koi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I'm excited, Greg. This is the most ambitious X-Men 97 episode of all time.
It has been a smooth process getting to this point. Has not been hours and hours and hours and many people's manual labor put into just getting this stream going. But the show must go on, as always. I'm glad you made the time, and thank everyone who was involved to help us get this done. Reject Nation all the way. So, ladies and gentlemen, please leave a like on this video, subscribe, and click that notification bell to get notified when our reaction's up for the next episode. Hopefully, Koi is in California for next week. And
he will be.
He certainly better be. And thank you to Prepper for editing it, helping us edit down whatever this craziness is going to be. And thank you to all for joining us at our Patreon page. You get the full-length reaction, watch-along, resync over your own copy of X-Men 97. And also, Koi's got another special interview coming up with the composers. That's why I was like, it makes no sense for you not to be here, Koi. We gotta make this happen.
And so this effortless episode occurred by just natural progression.
All right, Koi, are you ready?
I am ready as I've ever been. Schnickety schnick schnick, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you, Harry's, for sponsoring this video. Well, now, well,
okay,
Koi,
so it was.
What the hell happened in this episode? Can we try to recap what happened exactly?
There was two
troubles going off of memory.
Two very awkward three. One was a clone, and one was an ex-lover, and they both.
So Jean was the one who kissed Wolverine.
He's been having
apparently
an affair with Madeline Pryor because that's the mother of his child.
With Madeline in the
She was snooping on the couple, and then Jean found out about the whole affair. Madeline was given a spot on the council because Emma and Shaw are trying to infiltrate and leverage her. And Magneto wanted to make it look like he's less of a villain by having an X-Men because X-Men are in good with the UN as his wife. And that was leverage against Gambit's relationship because they can physically touch. And we finally saw how that came to be. So both sets of couples chose poorly because Scott napalmed his relationship. Magneto coerced Rogue. She was a responsible person and responsibly broke up. But she realized, no, no, no. And then the world went on fire.
And who on the X-Men PR's team was it to start doing a news report on them in the midst of the leaders' crisis of losing their son? whose idea was
Trish
like,
Shelby's like, we're going to do the big journalism now while they're really sensitive and fragile as a nation and as parents. And, like, I love that use of Trish Tilby as, like,
insane.
I legit thought she might have been someone in disguise. Like, I thought it might have been Mystique for half the episode because the way she was, like, grilling. But I think it was just aggressive journalism.
Yeah. So, in the very first episode, they were talking about this, about, like, oh, it's just a fad right now of people starting to accept the mutants. And all this talk about leadership and
so much dialogue this episode
being leaders being terrorists. And then, of course, you have this like genocidal attack that occurs on Genosha at a place that was just so beautiful and prosperous. I was shocked by how all this went down. It weirdly worked for me. Like, I feel like this I feel like I should just be here going too much in one episode, but somehow I found myself just so wrapped up and just, I guess because it was so committed to how bonkers it was.
Some of the dialogue was just so soapy and rich with like drama and malice, but it was so well written. I was like, okay.
Yeah. There was so much going on. Okay. And then it seems to me that, because I know I've talked about this before when the Nathan Summers episode happened with the birth of Nathan Summers, that
I don't feel like the 90s show, and I know some people in the comments have said that, no, they hinted at it. They made it explicitly clear here that Nathan Summers, Cable,
your eyes, they spelled
the
it
son.
Out.
They made that really clear. Madeline, yeah, they spelled it out entirely. He calls her mom in this moment, and they never had a moment like that in the 90s series. And they did do the Days of Future Past storyline. That's how Cable and Bishop was introduced in there. So I'm wondering if instead of doing like the time travel to the future, I'm wondering if we're watching.
So it is a mix of Days of Future Past
unfold,
and some of the imagery,
you know?
But there is a recent storyline, and I've said it a few times in the episode, where there's an island nation of Krakoa, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to the modern X-Men comics, but that's like a word you might have heard even peripherally. So basically the X-Men form their own nation that is completely separate. It's a sovereign nation, and they're able to make enough money by making mutant drugs and selling it to the main population as like, hey, we've got an economy, let us do our own thing, please stop bothering us, we're not even going to bother with you humans, but just leave us alone. And basically for like 2 years, the X-Men comics, they're on this island,
cool.
And it's peace, love, there's like a three-way between Cyclops, Jean, and Scott, and you're like, good for them after all these years, they're a thruple, like they go at it, and there's a lot of like, yeah, they Marla Singered her.
Cyclops, Jean, and Scott?
Wait. Oh, sorry. Cyclops, Jean, and Wolverine. I'll get it on.
What do you mean Cyclops, Jean, and Scott?
They literally – there's a map of their – oh, you're right. That is very Fight Club.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Like there's a map of their homes, and it's really cheeky. There's like a video of basically Jean's in the middle, and Scott and Wolverine live on the two sides, and they like are with each other all the time. Like it's a free love island. But over time, the people that want mutants hated and killed – poison the drugs and kill millions of human beings and frame the Krakoans. And while they're doing that simultaneously, there's an invasion of Krakoa. And that's this episode where they just burn down the island and destroy this peaceful. And it's during a gala. So there's a Hellfire gala. And at the second annual Hellfire gala, they raise like R-A-Z-E, just destroy Krakoa. And what's crazy is Krakoa is a mutant itself. It's a living island. So there's this crazy commentary and ecosystems and all this. So that's a long journey of 2 years of comics, but that is imagery that feels like Days of Future Past, like the iconic stuff that you'd know, and this recent stuff. And what I loved is modern comic fans love Krakoa. It's like the most exciting X-Men's been in 20 years. So the way they were able to incorporate that into a old school story using Genosha, and the way they were able to make it modern and mix it with X-Men 97, like this was like a 70s, 80s, and 90s, and today, like when you listen to the radio, and you're like, everything works. Like it was genius.
And no weird cut just happened here. Yeah, Coy. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Effortly.
Those are all great points you made.
I thought you would enjoy those. So Krakoa is great. They use those elements. I also love the Tri-Sentinel. The Tri-Sentinel is a big bad, and they effortlessly made that awesome. What did you think?
Well, as someone who does not know these comic specific references that you are making, I was on the edge of my seat. I was wrapped up in the emotionality of it all. And I feel like that's so important for me. And I think for a lot of viewers like myself, because it's like you can absorb all these things probably on a faster level, like a sponge, because of the fact that you know a little bit more of the references. Where for me, I'm like, all this is like brand spanking new, and I don't have anything really to go off of here other than the prior series and little tidbits that I've heard. So for me, I was like feeling the loss for what Gambit was going through. I love how it became ultimately I thought they might like milk this love triangle story out between Magneto and Rogue and Gambit. And then they freaking put a stamp on that, because yeah, you're talking about how the free loving spirits are. And this one, what I find really interesting about how this show has been handling sexuality has been very interesting. Because it's a Disney Plus show, because it's animated, they obviously can't go too far.
But you feel
they do have this vibe. Yeah, it's a vibe. Like you and the undertones. Like there is a thing here where it does feel like sexually discomforting and more sexually they're more open.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that very interesting that they are able to toe that line. Like if this, there were parts of this where action wise, mood wise, where I feel like I'm looking at like a fantastic anime, and anime, they are not shy, depending on the anime you're watching. anime generally is like the hard R ones are not shy of like sexuality and violence. And I feel like this show is doing its best it can to toe that line. And so I appreciate the maturity of what they're doing. So to me, I was impressed by it. I was surprised on every turn. And I think I'm like, I don't know where they go from here. Like, even though you have all these references and stuff, like, I still don't know where they go. After all is said and done, like, I feel like we can just enter into some truly weird, strange terrain now. Because everything's been, like, pretty grounded and tangible. But now I'm like, whoa, we have Cable coming in here with the tease of that. And even though it's a little much, but, like, there's so much interpersonal conflict now between just the X-Men themselves.
And a lot of people just died. And the UN is like, wait, this isn't safe. Like, everything changed in this episode. This felt like a finale. And I was so impressed that in all of the action, which at points I was like, is this too much for me? And I agree. I was like, no, this is so insane, but I'm here. The dialogue was so impactful when they slowed down that it was so quotable and so important. And then they still managed to make it like this whirlwind. And it doesn't feel like I have any way to know what pacing it's going to be when it comes back after life death because of how insane this was in those two ways.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to Storm now, dude. We're going to Forge and Storm.
Yeah. Yeah. Thrilled to be partnering with a brand I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and that's Harry's Razors. I'm generally more drawn to anything that goes against the norm, and Harry's does just that in the grooming world. They saw the high prices in the industry and decided to blaze their own trail with quality and affordability. I keep a beard, but whenever you see these cheeks and the neck clean, and that's the work of Harry's right there. Keeps my wife happy, and Harry's makes it effortless. They're precision blades that cut smoothly with less drag, making every shave satisfying. And yes, it's versatile for other areas too, you know what I mean? So as a Harry's devotee, I can vouch for their value. You can experience unparalleled comfort and quality in your grooming routine where exceptional craftsmanship meets affordability, making a smart choice for a top-notch shave without breaking the bank. Their kits and value packs for shaving are unbeatable, but Harry's is not just about shaving. Again, they offer top quality, thoughtfully designed grooming products, including shampoo, conditioner, and amazing body wash without the premium price. Quality, affordability, that's a thesis of this. Now these I actually pulled right from my own bathroom. I regularly use their 5-blade razor with a nice weighted handle and their foaming shave gel. Man, this dab, oh, it is a game changer. I just like the feel of it. Now I have to commit to keeping this in my hand the whole time because I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of shooting this. The handles, they feel perfectly balanced, and the razor's sleek design is a classy addition to my bathroom. And the quality of the shave, unparalleled. Gotta reiterate, keep part of my weekly grooming ritual because their entire range of products fits seamlessly into my routine. Definitely no reshoots here. Their German engineer blades are durable, and refill plans are economical. Rarely use the word economical, but I'm using it now. Plus, their commitment to high customer satisfaction and no risk trial makes Harry's a no-brainer. This gel really does feel good. Let me say once more, choosing Harry's means quality and affordability. By grabbing your $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rejects, you're not only getting a great deal, but you're also supporting this channel. That's harrys.com/rejects for your $3 trial set. Stay sharp and embrace the extraordinary with Harry's. Till next time, Reject Nation. Till next time. There's so much going. Now I'm wondering, like, how are they going to wrap this all up? Like, what is the bow I usually just want to talk about the episode itself, and I am finding myself going down like, what is the overall direction? Like, I'm here for it because this episode was introducing all the mutants and bringing back a bunch of other ones. You had like Sean here, you had Emma Frost in here, like Moira was here. Like, they had all these people coming together again. Nightcrawler, I was like, oh, this might be the Nightcrawler episode. I'm like, far never mind. Like, Nightcrawler's just like a fun appearance to give some like philosophical love speeches and stuff. So yeah, I was surprised the death of Gambit too. You know, like, this really was his episode, and it was so bleak. And I don't know, my mind is just kind of like overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and all the tech issues alone have left me a little bit stressed and overwhelmed. So the combination of that combined with having to like absorb this, like, wow, my mind is having a difficult time processing this. But I do know this. I was enthralled when I was watching it. I was very entertained. I want to watch it again.
Same. This is like, the first episode. I'm like, it's late, but.
Yeah. I have that feeling where I was vibing with it throughout the whole time because it felt like just so dark and uncomfortable. That was like the one word I just, It's weird because you look at episode 3, which went more horror with Mr. Sinister and stuff, but this one felt more...
It was personally...
Personal.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, the whole time,
yeah,
you're like...
Yeah, we had the same word. Yeah, it's like, I feel icky, not just, not externally, but underneath it all. I feel icky, and this feels, like, really doom and gloom menacing, and I'm believing, like, there's got to be some reversal of deaths here in some, right? Like,
I mean, Cable makes me think maybe, like, you know, since Cable came back, maybe he's got a, but I definitely felt impacted by the relationships, the death, the, all that, and it was still going 100 miles an hour, and that's so impressive, especially, I like your comparison to episode 3, that was horror in a, like, lean back way, and this was horror in, like, oh, my skin feels bad. Like, it felt so underneath it, and I think that's the writing, because, I mean, obviously the animation's incredible, but they did such a good job, not just writing for the show, but writing for each character. Rogue's speech felt like Rogue. Magneto's speech like felt like Magneto. When he spoke German, yeah, and we've got all these like metaphors and allegories going on, and then we've got relations, it just felt like all of these characters are just at an 11, and it's so like, ugh, gut-wrenching to lose anyone, but especially that much trauma in one episode.
And I thought it was like a really bold move to take. I mean, maybe not for like a comic reader, but for, I think, I'm talking in terms of just television. You know, for especially for like the 90s show to come to here, to take Jean Grey and Cyclops, for where you, when you reintroduce them here in 97 as, all right, the power couple. And then in episode 5, we're like, we're cheating on each
with
other.
You know?
Like, oh my God. Like, this is so unnerving. And yeah, the way that the cheating's going down, too. Because when Jean kisses Wolverine, I was like, oh shit, we finally did it. And I'm like, no, what Cyclops is doing is weird.
And Jean being like, you love a piece of me. And Scott being like, do you love me or do you have a memory of me? Like, the dialogue, good.
That's a great line. Yeah, what are you really in love with, the actual me or a thought, you know, like or an idea? Yeah, that was like because a show that deals so much with identity and now it's dealing with like the connection of identities. Yeah, it was a really like thought-provoking one that is hard to just sort of sum, and that's the part of it that I do wish it was, if this was like an hour, as I saw 36 minutes, I was like, ah, I wish this was an hour because of the conversations that it kept presenting. Because there was all like the political conversations that in Genosha that was going on too. That I'm like, I can't even remember some of those bars that were being dropped. I just remember being like, damn, there's some good dialogue here, but I can't even recall what it was now. That was a power. But this is like purely like a reaction conversation at its finest. I think of just, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed in all the right ways. And I do, my one thing is, I do wish it was an hour so that way some of this other stuff could just kind of gestate a little bit more.
I don't know if they mandated like 10 episodes or whatnot, but I wish Life Death had been 2 episodes because the Jubilee stuff. I would have loved this to have been 2 episodes, to the point where I was like, maybe this is a part 1 of 2. And then I'm curious what Life Death becomes, because what this could have been is 22 episodes or like even 15, because this felt like I would have loved either an hour of this or break it up so I can live in Magneto's ponder some, like, I'm taking over, like, you worship me, godhood. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be there a little bit more. But if my only note is more of the greatness, that's a good note.
Because they do kind of, like, they go to Genosha, and then Magneto is now, you're the leader. Now he's got Rogue as leader. Now it's not happening anymore.
Yeah, Genosha's like, destroyed the same episode.
Yeah, it's all just, there's so much happening all at once. But it's a weird thing where I wish it was longer. And yeah, in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, it's a little, but it's compact. It's a little much for one episode. But at the same time, I think what they make up for is that it was consistently engaging regardless.
And I like that the whole time I was watching it, I wasn't thinking, oh, this is rushed. I was thinking, oh, my God, this is so much. So I want more, but I'm not mad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, shit, man. Look, it's really late at night.
We've had a journey for both of us, and I've been out for 14 hours. You've got up the world, but this was I'm so glad this was as incredible because of the amount of work we put into this. And oh my God, what an episode!
It's been a journey to this Tuesday night for us.
I'm very excited to see you in person, Greg.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, man. Well, you go get some rest. Thank you guys so much for being here with us. Leave your thoughts down below on what you thought about this episode. What the hell do you think is going to happen for the rest of the season? And hey, we'll see you all soon, Reject Nation. Talk with you all soon. Eric Horstman. John, have you heard from Eric in a while? I haven't heard from Eric in a long time.
I was just looking at his social media to see
what was going on.
He liked something of mine, and then I was like, whose page is this? Like, there's so little of actual Eric on his page that I had to scroll for a while to finally get to his Real Rejects tattoo. I just saw activism. I saw a lot of getting out in the streets.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm starting to wonder if he doesn't really care about us, because I've noticed that he'll do that. It's that kind of thing where you kind of keep us at a little bit of a distance, but you don't want to cut us out entirely. So you're like, all right, I'll like a post once in a while.
Yeah.
That way it just seems like I'm in contact with you. That way it seems like I'm engaging with you in some way.
Maybe you're just a bot now, you know? Maybe you just have like an algorithm that does that.
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know why you dropped off from us. You were like our most staunch follower. And then
why aren't you harassing
that, you were like
us,
a great friend beyond that. And
harass
now
us as
I
a friend.
Barely hear from you, so I don't know what your problem is.
Man, you changed, bro.
Sure,
you changed.
You hurt my feelings, man.
Yeah, and I mean, you're out here feelings. With the biggest Real Rejects tattoo on earth, bar none, and yet you can't even come back home to Papa and other Papa. What happened to you, man? We miss you. We've cried a thousand tears. Whoa, how much have you cried, Eric? Send them to us in glass jar.
Yeah. And we'll either heal a person, bring them back to life.
That's right.
Pokemon style.
Ooh. Yeah, you're Ash, man.
I hope you're okay, though. And I hope that you still love us. This is a cry for help shout out. And I hope that you accept
we
it.
We need you, Eric.